we welcome you in here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB 3.185. Call a friend and a neighbor and tell them that the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy's on part two tonight of Sent Only to the Lost Sheep of the House of Israel. We're glad to have you aboard. We'll be right back after this beautiful song brought to you by Sister Linda. Yahweh bless you. Do you love him? Well, if you do, you want to understand the important things, and the only thing that matters in life is to be also ready, for you know not in what hour that the Son of Man comes. So let's get into the Bible and a study about our heritage. If you have an inkling of who you are tonight, I hope and pray that you will get your Bible and you will listen very intently. Maybe you'll record this. Maybe you would call Pastor Buddy at the end of the program and request a copy of this series of Sent. Now, the Bible says that many are called and a few are chosen. But did you know out of the chosen few, those were gathered by the prophets that were sent, not the false prophets. There's many false prophets that's gone out into the world. They have a seem right way. They have a form and a fashion. They love tradition. They love something that seems right. So the important key to understanding Israel, if you understand in prophecy, is that after the time of Solomon's time, people of Israel, the total house, this time they were one house. They were split into two nations, and that's what we're going to talk about. And then we're going to give you the mystery element of where they went to. Ladies and gentlemen, they left. They're not over in the Middle East. They're not there. The Bible clearly describes this ancient people that departed, never to return. Well, if the two houses are split after the time of Solomon, the house of Israel consisted of 10 tribes, and the house of Judah consisted of 2 tribes, as related in 1 Kings chapter 12. Now, this is where we're going to build a gestalt in 1 Kings chapter 12, and this division has continued right down to this day. The Father, Yahweh, speaks of the two families whom he hath chosen, Israel and Judah. And he declares here in the Bible, Jeremiah to be exact, Jeremiah 33, verses 24 and 26. Let me read them to you and set the tone of our message. Thus saith Yahweh, if I have not established my covenant with day and night, and the ordinances of heaven and earth, then I will reject the descendants of Jacob Israel and David my servant. Jeremiah 33:24-26. These two families are called the two descendants of Jacob. Now, the two wives of Jacob. Jeremiah 3:6 are called sisters. Ezekiel 23:2 calls them two nations. Ezekiel 37:22 calls them the two kingdoms. Ezekiel chapter 37 talks about the two sons. And remember, we gave you the parable in the Gospel of Luke 15, indicating that there was a continuing separation even unto this day of the two houses in that land where they were positioned, because they were both removed. And we gave you that in Luke 15 and in Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. Now, in fact, the first scriptural mention of the Jews, is in 2 Kings 16:6. Now, isn't that strange and odd that the people that think that God's chosen people are Jews, and yet they're not mentioned in the Bible until way over beyond the prophecy here of 1 Kings chapter 12 that I'm speaking out of tonight? It was only in 2 Kings chapter 16 that they're mentioned. And, you know, I'm amazed at people that say, well, that's God's chosen people. Well, what about the people before that? Who are they? That's a question. If you look, as we described in part one of the series of Sent, we talked about the relationship of Jews and Gentiles as man has been taught to believe, that there's only two races or classes of people in the world, and that's Jews and Gentiles. That's an error. And it's not taught in the basic fundamental churches today. It should be, but it's not. This message that I'm teaching you tonight, you won't hear it in your regular Sunday school class, or you won't hear the preacher preach on it or teach on it. It should be taught. And people should be made to understand the fact that the first scriptural mention of Jew is in 2 Kings 16:6, where they were at war with Israel. Now, isn't that amazing? If Israel is over there today that they claim, and these false prophets rattle off at the gums and place them over there and tell you that the prophecies are going to be enacted through those people over there, what about these people that have been removed, never to return. What about that prophecy? Is there something they're not telling you? Is there something that is lacking? Well, we're gonna examine that. Let's look at the division of the descendants of the house of Judah and the house of Israel. In Israel, they are called Ephraim, after its leading tribe, or the birthright tribe, and instead, this tribe of Israel, or Ephraim, was conquered by Assyria in the 8th century B.C. and scattered through the nations of the world. Amazing. And people say, well, that's God's people over there. Well, when did they go back? Or you say, oh, well, Pastor Buddy, my pastor told me that they'd always remained over. That's not true. They haven't always been over there, because in the 8th century, Israel, the 10 tribes, were scattered. We're going to prove that Judah, in 586 B.C., they were removed. Now, let's go to the book, if you will, of Hoshea, or Hosea. In the 9th year of Hosea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. So was Israel carried away out of their land, out of their own land, to Assyria, even unto this day. Now listen to that. I'm going to read that again. That's very needful for you to understand it. The 9th year of Hosea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away unto Assyria and placed them in Haya and the Habor by the river of Gozan and the cities of the Medes. And so Israel was carried away out of their own land. Now get that. Carried away out of their own land. Now we're told that there are only Jews and Gentiles in the world, two classes of people. And yet he said, go not to the Gentiles. He didn't say go to the Jews either. What did he say, Pastor Buddy? In the book of Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, to review, he said, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, we know that according to James chapter 1, verse 1, James wrote, this great man, Peter, James, and John were pillars according to the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. They were considered pillars. That's fundamental strength, support of the assembly of the church of the living God. They were considered pillars. And James said, out of his own mouth, in verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of James, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. At the time of James, 2,000 years ago approximately, the 12 tribes were still scattered abroad. All 12. Now that's the house of Israel. That's the house of Israel and the house of Judah combined. I just gave you the split that is spoken of in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37. So then, we know in the book of 37 verses 15 through 30, listen, Yahweh reveals that the coming reunion of the two houses will occur only at a specific time, and that had to occur when the 12 tribes were scattered abroad. Remember, they were divided in the days of Solomon. They were divided in the days of the Messiah. Remember, in the 7th chapter of the book of John, the Messiah himself refused to walk in Judah because they had a warrant out of him. They wanted to kill him because they thought he was a Galilean. They thought he was an intruder. They thought he was attacked in the nation of the Jews and was going to tear down their temple. That was the insurrection. That was terrorist. Just, if the same Messiah lived today, the United States would consider him a terrorist. the one that they claim that this is a Christian nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we are drifting away from being a Christian nation. We are beginning to be an atheistic, Jew-loving, Christ-hating nation of Christians that have been so subtly changed and transformed into Christ-haters, and yet they profess Christ. Which Christ? There's a false Christ, and there's a true Christ. There is a real Christ, and then there's one that's not so real. In other words, he's a counterfeit. And that's what we're talking about, the two sticks in Ezekiel 37, verses 15 through 30. Notice this. The earth shall be full of a knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea, that the outcast of Israel and the dispersed of Judah are gathered together from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah 11 and 9, and verse 11 and 13. Now some say that they were reunited in the land of Assyria shortly after their captivity began. Now, if that's true, how can the separate sets of latter-day promises be fulfilled to Judah and Israel if they were reunited 2,700 years ago, instead, as we are told, that they would be rejoined when they had one shepherd? Well, that one shepherd came 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, 700 years after the fact, which in 586 B.C., Judah was removed. And as we read in Jeremiah chapter 23, they were to never return. The good figs were removed, never to return. Now, some bad figs came back. And a remnant came back for the purpose of seed, to keep the covenant from being disannulled. There was a remnant left in Israel at the time of the Messiah. But the main body of both Israel and Judah, the two split nations, were removed, but they were reunited together. They didn't know who they were. They lost their identity, and we're going to prove that. And they don't know today. That's why that Yahweh sent ministers and shepherds to get them to see the light, or to walk in the light, or to walk in the truth, or to acknowledge the truth, and to confess the truth, and to draw nigh unto him, because he said that he would draw nigh. If we deny him, he's going to deny us. From the four corners of the earth he would reunite them. Now that means they were scattered. They weren't over in the sandbox. But from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah chapter 11. Read it for yourself. Now, if there were going to be one shepherd, as the book of Ezekiel says, 37 verse 24 and John 11, 51 and 52, it's a time that was fulfilled that the lost sheep of the house of Israel of Matthew 10 and 5 and chapter 15 verse 24 that I read you there in part 1, that these lost sheep were already scattered at the time of the Messiah. And indeed, the clues to the identity of lost Israel go only to the lost sheep of Israel. That's what he's talking about. Go not to the Gentiles. So Israel is not Gentile. Now, who are these 12 tribes? Well, we're going to deal with that. They're in the modern world. If you would look at this in Isaiah 49, verse 6. Well, if they're scattered to the end of the earth, as Isaiah 49, 6 proclaimed, Ezekiel tells us that the dispersion of the house of Israel was Yahweh's way of purifying his people. Now, listen to just how he said it. I will. Now, this is in Ezekiel. I will scatter you among the nations, and I will disperse you through the countries, and I will consume your uncleanness out of you. Now listen to that. there is a recycling or a pressing of the grape. The extraction of the uncleanliness is coming out, and there will be a day near. Now, today's the day when Yahweh will return the sent shepherds to gather together the elect in one. This stick of Ezekiel 37 will become one. That means that people will unify their minds to know that both Jews and Israel are the same people. It's not just Jews only. It is the house of Israel that consumes or consists of the 12 tribes of Israel scattered abroad. Now, if you look in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 15 in the Masoretic text, I want you to, that they would have a new land. They would have a new heart, and they would have a new spirit and a new covenant. Now, we gave you that in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. We gave it to you in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 through 26. And we gave it to you in prophecy of Jeremiah in chapter 31, 31. Verse 31. 31, chapter 31, verse 31. That's easy for you to remember. Remember those two. 2 Samuel 7 and 10. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 through 26. And Jeremiah 31, 31. The end result is that Yahweh has used this occasion to make the cleansing of his people who rejected him, who would not keep his laws, and therefore he scattered them, which is going back to the promise that Yahweh gave to Abraham in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, that he would scatter his people, or that he would make his people as the sand of the sea and the stars of the heavens. And only a race of people who are called by a specific name. Now, we're going to show you exactly who they are. If you get the lost sheep story today, notice this. The word Sakai, S-A-K-A, Sakai, it's a latter form of the word Saxon. From the Medo-Persian, Sakai or Sunai, or sons of Sakai. In the book of the story of Celtic Saxon Israel, Mr. W.H. Bennett provides scholarly evidence of the origin of the words Scythia or Sakai or Saxon in the word Isaac. Oh my! How wonderful. Isaac, the sons of the Saxon. The famous, the patriarch Joseph had a coat of many colors. And it refers in Genesis of 37, verse 3, and verse 23, and verse 32. It's the origin and inscription of the famous Scottish tartan patterns, which also date back to the time of Joseph. Can you see that? Oh, my. What a rich heritage. And ladies and gentlemen, nobody wants to teach this in school. Colleges don't teach this. Churches don't teach this. Why? If we were black, it would be Black History Month telling about the wonderful terms and the wonderful trek through the Caucasus Mountains of a superior race. And yet if we talk about the Aryan Caucasians, we're racist. This history is hidden. They don't want it taught. Even the Christian churches won't teach it. And my, notice this. Some of the soldiers that have these emblems, and some of the nations, the soldiers of the past, which has rich heritage. Their uniforms are identical or identifying who they are or who they were and who they still are, by the way. And if you will notice in some of the famous clothing, the Scottish, they still fight in the tartan. Their clothes, it actually it tells you who they are. And the word Isaac, the Celto-Saxon of Israel, comes from the Medo-Persian word Sakai or Sunai or sons of Sakai or the sons of Isaac. Oh my, I just get so happy and so wonderfully blessed when I teach on this, and it's so wonderful. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 20. Thou art my battle axe, and you're my weapons of war. For with thee I will break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. Ladies and gentlemen, only one race of people has done this. The white Western Europeans and the Americans. That's the people. No, sis. Jeremiah. Or Isaiah 14:2. Thus shall they be taken captive, their captors, and shall tread down their oppressors. In other words, when they're taken captive, they will tread down their captors. The Israelites defeated the Assyrians, or outlasted them, or were dealt kindly with them, because if you look at the history, the Assyrians were descendants of one of Noah's sons. Now, it just so happens to be that the son of Noah that got the covenant was Shem. That's why we're called Shemites. And when everybody speaks against Jews, they call you anti-Semitic. That's their return. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're speaking in favor of the Shemites, you're speaking in favor of the sons of Isaac, the 12 tribes of the house of Israel. That, oh my. Behold, thus shall they be taken captive, their captors, and they shall tread down their oppressors. Isaiah 14:2. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, that's the large nations, and you shall beat them small, and you shall make the hills, these small nations, as chaff. Isaiah 41, verse 15. Yahweh knew what he was going to do with his sheep. He was going to scatter them. They were going to be a powerful people, and they were going to be known in history as Caucasians. Marvelous. Wonderful. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horns of iron and your hoofs of brass. Don't make the Saxton mad. Don't stir the wrath of the awakened Saxon. It's coming, ladies and gentlemen. And when the wrath of the Saxon is awakened by the spiritual anointing of the last day, reunification of the two houses, the two sticks will become one, and then and only then will Yahweh arise and thresh and will make horns of iron and hoofs of brass, and you shall beat in pieces many people. Micah chapter 4, verse 13. Oh my, what a wonderful revelation. The battle axe, it's a symbol of Israel. It also symbolizes the descendants of the Sakai, or the Saxons, the Royal, the Scots, the Irish, and the Brits, or the sons of the covenant. Brit means, in Hebrew, is covenant people. Ladies and gentlemen, who does this? We ought to be so thankful and so proud and so honored with such a great historical heritage. And yet, it's almost like we have to apologize for being this great people. And we would rather glorify some other race, something come out of Africa, or something come out of Asia, or something come out of India, or something come out of South America, and talk about their heritage and their holidays and their holy days. And we've done away with the Christian principles of festivals, rejoicing, and games. You know, ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest heritages we've got has been taken away is feast keeping. We've been we've been drug out of it. Remarkably, it was the only during the time of Israel's defeat and dispersion by the Assyrians and the Babylonians, when the future looked the darkest, that these prophecies of victorious military conquest later were given by Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Micah, and clearly the story of Ephraim Israel did not end in the 8th century. But where'd they go? Go only to the lost sheep. The Messiah reminded his 12 chosen to go to the 12 chosen tribes scattered abroad. Why didn't they preach to that little sandbox? Why did they have to go into the nations among the goy, or among the goyim, among the heathen, among what the word used today is Gentiles? Go not to the Gentiles. You see, this covenant of Jacob Israel is not sent to the Gentiles. They can't be saved. This salvation is not for Gentiles. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, God loves every nation. He loves every blood. He loves it. Oh, really? Where you been all of your life? Have you read the Bible? Yahweh wanted his people to be a holy people, a separate people, and come out from among these nations and be not like the heathen and not learn their ways. Don't give your daughters to their sons or their sons to your daughter. Don't do that. That's what he said in Deuteronomy 7. And yet we're told, ladies and gentlemen, that God made one blood out of all of us. Say, we all came from Adam. That's a lie. Notice this. In 1923, the British Museum published a newly discovered Babylonian chronicle giving a detailed description of the events which transpired in Assyria and their waning kingdom. We learn from this chronicle that the Chaldeans were combined with the Medes and with the Scythians, who were an important factor in the weakening of Assyria, that in 1612, proud Nineveh, remember Jonah that went over and preached to Nineveh? He was out of the house of Judah, ladies and gentlemen. He went over to Nineveh to preach to the wayward, disobedient Israelites. It fell before an assault of the Medes, who were aided by Nabopolassar and a contingent of Scythians, which is in the chronicle of page 566 and 567 of the newly discovered Babylonian chronicle. Right in there. Yes, the Sakai, the Scythians, or House of Isaac, played a prominent part in the overthrow of the Assyrian Empire, and then later, as other kingdoms fell to this people that were feared and revered all across the world as the mighty Sakai, as the Scythians, and the children of the Brit, or the British, the sons of the covenant of Ish, or Isaac, ladies and gentlemen. It is so wonderful to know that we've got a people. Now, notice this. In Joseph's time, it was prophesied that his house, the house of Israel, remember Ephraim was the house of Israel, let the blessings come upon the head of Joseph. Let his horns be like the horns of the unicorn. And with them he shall push the enemy of the people together to the ends of the earth. Deuteronomy 33:16 and verse 17 that we've referred many times. Joseph is an important tribe of the house of Israel whose heraldry is now found in Britain and the ends of the earth in Scotland and in Ireland and now in America. It's a fitting symbol for Western Europe and America to conquer the mighty Atlantic and come west and even go as far as the Pacific into the west here in America from shore to shore and from sea to sea, from mountain to mountain. Notice this. Dr. James Augustus Strong, the one that compiled the Strong Concordance and other works, made this statement. The larger proportion of the ten tribes were in a state more or less related to distant regions by the great national migrations proceeding from Central Asia across the Caucasus Mountains. These great national migrations were from Asia westward and included the Huns, the Slavs, and other tribes who pushed or were pushed by the lost tribes of Israel into Europe. Dr. Strong's comments indicate that the House of Israel fled from Assyria northward through the Caucasus Mountains, where they were brought up in the western migration of peoples that settled into Europe. And there is the dynasty of the great governments formed, kings, queens, and nations of Joseph, who would form in the last days. The younger would serve, or the older would serve the younger. That would be Manasseh in Great Britain. British Israelite identity has got it all wrong. It is Ephraim, the younger, the United States, that came into being after the settlement of the western nations of England, Scotland, Ireland, Germany, France, Italy, Spain. Oh, my. What a wonderful revelation of heritage. And yet many people, they just don't want the script. They just don't want it. Notice this. If you notice that in the Harper's Bible Dictionary that I looked up as I studied for this message on dress, just look at the soldiers' emblems. And I just like the Danish crest and the Danish ornaments of the tribe of Dan, the Danube, coming through Europe. The house of Dan, the one that abode in ships, the one that migrated, the one that explored. It depicts an important part of the Hebrew royal attire. It is called a mitre and was worn by the Israeli high priest of Exodus chapter 28, verse 37. And we've studied so much on this hat that the high priest wore. Herodias recorded in his history on page 7 that the Sacchi, who are the Scythians, have high caps tapering to a point and stiffly upright. This style of hat is found on the Bahushu rock, where Scythian king Sukaya is depicted wearing it. The Cambridge History of Iran, volume 3, on page 2, states, we furthermore have some stories about the Hebrew officials bearing the Parthian name of Adria, Artra, and Apaya of Barish, who have mounted a routine of troops and wore high hats, and in Europe of later centuries, it became known as the wizard's cap. Oh my. Often with the depiction of a half moon, the symbol of the origin of the moon symbol, apparently denoting the eastern origin of this ancestral clothing in that they were keepers of the lunar Sabbath. Oh, my. And you thought that Saturday was the Sabbath. Ladies and gentlemen, how ignorant, how stupid, how foolish for people to deny the truth. I mean, they can kick and they can scuffle and they can mutter and they can peep and they can't hide. Oh, they hide their evidence. They run it on an obscure place. They won't come out with the truth because the Bible tells you that the new moon was worshipped by the ancient Israelites, and this is part of the heritage. And ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh knows them that are His. There are many evidences of Hebrews in the Caucasus. The Hebrew Encyclopedia states the Caucasus, the Jews claim to be descendants of the lost tribes of Israel. The Georgians are equally certain of their descent from the Israelites who were taken from Palestine by Shalmaneser in 726 and 722 B.C. That's on page 628 of this Jewish encyclopedia. Notice this. We do have proof that the Hebrews were in the Caucasus Mountains and that they were, in fact, the lost tribes of the house of Israel. The Universal Jewish Encyclopedia carries a fascinating article documenting the early presence of Hebrews in the Caucasus Mountains, and it states that the first immigration of Israelites, they use that word there, into the Trans-Caucasus, supposed to have taken place in the 7th century B.C. during the reign of the Assyrian king, is recounted in ancient Armenian and Georgian chronicles. According to these chronicles, Israel arrived in these regions as early as the beginning of the 6th century. What Israelites were in captivity in the 6th and 7th century B.C.? These were the lost 10 tribes of the house of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, next message, that'll be Friday night, I want to get in and show you that the house of Judah, which was captured along with the 10 tribes of the house of Israel, at the same time of the Assyrian conquest in 2 Kings 18 and 13, records this. Now listen to me. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah, and he took them. The same king that captured Israel later came back. It's a little, this is history that has been hidden. The churches will not discuss this because of the false doctrine that the Jews are God's chosen people, when it is in fact, it is the Israelites, along with the house of Judah, who were taken captive and led away, never to return, and the history of this occasion is so rich and prevalent in the heritage, and yet it's astounding to me that it's not taught. You don't hear it taught in universities. They won't teach it in the churches. They're afraid it might offend someone. I mean, you know, Black History Month's okay, but White History Month, talking about these things, ought to do a whole month on this and call it White History, Caucasian History Month. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't take pride in who we were and who we are, it's for certain if we don't know who we are, we certainly don't know where we're going. So we got to return and preach and teach these things. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, the king of Assyria came up against all the fenced cities of Judah. Right there it is. 2 Kings 18, verse 13. Read it for yourself. The same king that carried Israel away came back in the same dynasty, the same nation, Assyria. Who was the Assyrians? Read it. they were actually the brothers from Noah. These are the Shemites. The house of Israel and the house of Judah are Shemites. They have a cousin of Shem. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. These are the sons of Japheth that dealt kindly. They were Aryan, white, proud, superior to all of the nations around them. And they were dealt kindly with Israel and Judah. And they let them go through the Caucasus Mountains. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to close tonight. I've enjoyed being with you. It's been marvelous. Yahweh has blessed us so much to know the truth. And the truth has made us free. You know what we ought to do? We ought to rise up and study. We ought to wake up and wipe sleep and tradition from our eyes. We ought to take pride, white pride. We ought to take pride in Caucasian pride back into our spirits. Do not apologize for it. Don't be ashamed of it. We ought to shout it on the mountaintop that Yahweh was a blushing Israelite. David was a ruddy, blushing Israelite. Should we apologize for that? Not all people can do it. But, ladies and gentlemen, just as other nations, proud African nations, proud Asian nations, go to China. They're proud of their heritage. They are Mongoloid. Go to Africa. They're proud of their heritage. They're Negroid. Come to the Caucasus or the Caucasian people. They're ignorant of their heritage. They're not to talk about it. They're not to even whisper it in the Sunday school class because the dumb Sunday school teachers don't know nothing about the history of the Caucasians. And it's a shame. We have lost our way. We've become lost. And my plea as a sent minister to Yahweh and to Yahweh's children is to return back to the old path. Seek out the knowledge and seek out the history and seek out the things that Yahweh would have us to do, to dedicate our message and our purpose to a higher calling is to rescue our people. I said the other night, there's good people in the Methodist, good people in the Baptist, good people in the Presbyterian, good people in the Catholic Church. There's good people in the Pentecostal Holiness, which is what I was. And there's good people all around. There's good people in Mormons. Some of the best people I know are Mormons. They're proud of their heritage. They have the greatest microfilmed library of genetics of the Aryan white race in the world. It is marvelous how that they have went into our history. Read the Book of Mormon. There's nothing wrong with reading the Book of Mormon. It tells about a history of Aryan white people that were in America long before Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's something right. That's something we ought to be proud of. That's something that we all ought to study and take lessons. And yet, they were beat down, they were murdered, they were killed, they were persecuted, they were driven from city to city simply because they upheld the laws of the Old Testament. And they had a prophet named Joseph Smith, of all things, ladies and gentlemen, the sons of Joseph. They're returning. They're here. And we're teaching these things not to insult, not to bring racial divide, but to bring back the heritage and the pride in who we are and what we stand for and what our rich history is. And we need to glean it and to exalt it and expand it and to teach it in the universities. Of course, you can't teach it there because they're all become communist. You look at South Africa, one of the greatest nations in Asia, in Eastern Asia, 50 years ago. Today, it is one of the weakest. It has become a rubble, a pile of rubble. After the Aryan race was taken out of government heads, then the nation collapsed under economic and communist leadership of the very one that they elected to become president. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, it's sad. It is so sad that we have become a state of anarchy and a state of a communist rebellion, a communist denial of our Savior. He was an Arian. The Bible said in Revelations 1:14 that his head was white. He blushed. We know we had a blushing Savior. The Bible said he could blush. We know exactly what the color he was. We have something to be proud of. It's not to defy or to. We're to bless all nations. We're not to be the people that divide and kill and conquer until we have to. But then we are. So what we're doing, we're giving up our heritage. We're giving up our country. We're giving up our faith. We're giving up what our forefathers built and left to us. We have become stewards asleep at the wheel of this great people that has become lost. And now, in the last days, Yahweh said that they would find their identity. We're coming back. We're waking up. And we're realizing who we are. So Yahweh bless you in all knowledge. And Yahweh give you the heritage of Jacob Israel. Did you know Jacob could blush? Did you know that Samuel was a blushing prophet? Did you know that Jeremiah was a blushing prophet? Did you know that Ezra was a blushing prophet? Why, he was so embarrassed about the sins of Israel, the Bible said he blushed. It's a unique feature of a Caucasian race. You got to be proud of it. You don't have nothing to apologize for. It's Yahweh's way of telling that we've got a conscience. Other people that can't don't have one. They could care less unless they follow your example. And that's what we're to be, a blessing to other nations, to teach them the ways of our Creator. And that was our purpose, to come into the earth, to conquer it, to rule it, and to bring it under subjection. We fail miserable simply because we've lost our identity. Come back to Yahweh. Come back to the plan. Come back to the heritage. Find yourself. And if you have enjoyed this message, you can write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. I love you very much. If you'd like to call me, my telephone number tonight is 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to send for this series, there will be one more as we close it out Friday night. We'll be on Friday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That'll be 8:30 Central. Look for us around the radio dial. Brother Bob, who is in Jackson, Tennessee tonight, doing our engineer work down in the great state of Tennessee and the western end of the state, in Jackson, Tennessee tonight, and he will have this message posted sometime in the next couple of days. And the series, the whole series of Sent, just ask for it, see it on our internet. And to find us there, you simply go to oneyahweh.com. That's our website, oneyahweh.com. Go to the message archives. Click on our recent 209 messages. Everything is up this year, right up till tonight's message. You can hear this series in its conclusion Friday night if you'd like to have it. If you'd like to write for the hard disk, the CDs, you can do so by writing Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And if you'd like any information that we have, just call Pastor Buddy. If you'd like to discuss this message further, you can do so by calling me anytime. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the old clock on the wall's caught up with me, and I guess I got to get out of here. I don't know that that Yahweh is going to tarry much longer. But if he does, let's get our identity. Don't let him catch you eating and drinking with a drunken when he returns. You know why? Simply because you'll be judged with him. But if you have your identity and you know who you are, if you know you're Jacob Israel, you got a calling. Come and seek him while he can be found. Call upon him while he's near, for he seeketh his lost sheep of the house of Israel. I love you very much tonight. Many blessings to you as we part. I'll see you Friday night on the radio network, WWRP 3.185, Clear Channel, the transmitting Jewel South, now being simulcast worldwide on live streaming. Just go to WWRP Radio, click on Listen Live, download Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, and you can listen to this message anywhere in the world. Around the world, we greet you in the great name. I'll see you Friday night. Yahweh bless you.